So this is a German painting, 1425, example of private devotional panel showing the Virgin that had developed in Germany around 1400. What do you notice about this picture? Yeah, they really fill the whole space. They come really close to you. Mary's wearing blue with red on top. Yeah, crown and halo. Anything else strike you? You didn't mention the hands. So what have you got here? You've got, what is it? It's pea. It's a flowering pea. I don't know, does anybody know about botany? How often do you get flowers and fruit at the same time? Maybe it's common with peas, I don't know. But you have here a rather unusual motif of the flowering pea, which shows both the blossom and the pod. In other words, all the fruit is out. Right? It's a plant where you've got everything at once. What's the thing about the switched colors? I think sometimes artists know that Mary wears red and blue, and they don't really, you know, I don't know that it's always just because it was done meaningfully. It was always taught meaningfully. I don't know that that's always the case. If you look across the crucifixion right across there, you see Mary in blue. What do you notice about the two pairs of hands? Yeah, both are, and they're both crossed, right? So art historians like to say, when they see this, there's a reference to the cross. And often you have this reference to the cross in paintings of the Madonna and Child from this roughly the same period. Art historians like to say that this is a foreshadowing or anticipation of the crucifixion. But what is the point of that? When the cross is connected with the Christ child, I mean, it just doesn't say enough to say that, to foreshadow. When the cross is connected with the Christ child, there are really two things that are being said in these pictures, two things that are presented. One is the innocence of Christ, right, as it is throughout the Gospel of Luke. And we even now identify babies with innocence. If you want to think of an emblem of innocence, you often think of babies. When people ask, do babies who die go to hell? They're asking about the justice of punishing an innocent being, right, with the torments of hell. So this association of infants and innocence. Christ retained the innocence of an infant all through his life. That's one thing. Second, when the cross is connected to the Christ child, it is underlined that the incarnation, right, when he comes, the nativity, is he's born, he's an infant, that the incarnation itself was for that purpose, for the purpose of the cross. But it's not just a thing that happened. And we're reminded in these images, where you have an infant and some kind of evocation of the cross, we're reminded of that, that that is the case, that the incarnation was for the purpose of the cross. The cross was not just coming, right? The foreshadowing idea, it's coming. It's meant to come as the fulfillment of God's plan. Christ came to die. He took human form so as to die. Death is not just something that will happen to this baby. It was the very purpose of this baby's existence. Though, of course, it was death toward life. And in fact, Christians used to believe that the cross was established from the very beginning. Right? Before creation, the cross was established from the very beginning as the necessary price of creating man. Just think, if God knows everything, no sooner does he have the idea of creation, he knows the need of the cross. There's no time in which he would create the world and then think, oh, right? The cross was there from the beginning. Christians used to understand this. It's not something that came along later because of the Romans. If God is above time, it was clear at the start that it was the price of making man at all. So these motifs that you see, infant, Christ, and cross motifs, not just expressions of what Christians believe, you know, the cross, that Christ will die. They are ways to engage the viewer with in contemplation of the gospel, in contemplation of the plan, of what God did, what Christ did.